Thank you, Millie. Be the Love. You know, one of my all-time favorite songs is Love Is My Decision. And I first heard it when I went off to do my ministerial training. But over the years, it keeps growing and growing on me. And I really believe this song is talking about our spiritual journey, this common journey that we are on. And I see three parts to our journey and three parts in this song. The first being opening to the divine, ourself, opening ourself to divine spirit. The second part being the forgiveness work, learning to forgive. And the third part is lightening the load that we carry on this journey. And so I want to talk about these three parts of our spiritual journey this morning, starting with that very first one, opening to divine spirit. Now, the words in that first stanza go, love is my decision. It's up to me to open my heart. Love is my decision. No one else can tell me to start. And that is so true that no one can do this for us. No one can make us do it. And so many of us find ourselves beginning that spiritual journey when we're in the midst of crisis or we have something that really weighs on us that says there's got to be more to life than this. And so we start that spiritual journey seeking that moreness, seeking that connection to the divine. And I believe that that journey starts with being willing. Being willing to say, this has been my experience, and how can I connect to the divine in everything I do and everything I am? Now, I've always believed unconditionally that there is God. There is that divine essence. I mean, I grew up in a preacher's family, and so that wasn't an option. And as I have done this spiritual journey, I have moved from that vision of a God as some divine being up there somewhere in the sky to the universal cosmic energy that we call God, that is everywhere, that is in everything, that is within us, and is the very bedrock of what we are. Jesus, our brother and our wayshower, pointed the way to this divine energy, this divine spirit, and how we might connect. And out of the Gospel of Luke, this is the 17th chapter, it says, once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or look, there it is, for in fact the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. That divine connection that we are seeking is not out there, but in here. And so that spiritual journey of ours begins in here. Now, Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, said much the same thing, but in very different words. And I want to share a little quote from Keep a True Lent, in which Charles says, in every person, the Christ, or the Word of God, is enfolded. Evolution is the result of the development of ideas in mind. What we are is the result of the evolution of our consciousness. What we are is the result of the evolution of our consciousness. Therefore, he says, spiritual evolution is the unfolding of the Spirit of God into expression. Now, the unfolding of the Spirit of God doesn't happen out there. It happens in here. It happens in what we are, in what we do, and in what we believe. I have a new understanding these days of what I am and what we are that differs greatly from the understanding of my childhood. I no longer believe that we are limited to a body, that we are only the personality that we show up as. I believe that we are a spiritual being, whole and holy, that is manifesting in a particular way as a human being right now. But we are so much more than what we see in the physical eyes. My personal spiritual work, which you probably know very well, is A Course in Miracles. And I have several readings out of that work today, but I want to share this one that says, "What am I?" I am God's child, complete and healed and whole, shining in the reflection of God's love. In me is divine creation sanctified and guaranteed eternal life. In me is love perfected, fear impossible, and joy established. I am the holy home of God itself. I am the holy home of God itself. You know, sometimes for me, the easiest way to understand a point is to hear a story. And I'm sure I've shared this before, but I want to share it again. My deep connection with the divine had an aha moment a number of years ago when my first grandson was about 3 years old. And he was in my home, and I had been gone and was coming back, and I was coming in the door, and he'd been looking for me. And I walked in the front door into the living room, and he saw me from across the room, and he yelled, "Grandpa!" And he went running across the room, and he threw himself into my arms and wrapped his arms around my neck, and he went, "I love you, Grandpa." And in that moment, that unconditional love connected with me in such a way as was an experience of the divine, opening to that unconditional love in that child, opened me to the unconditional love of God in me. And all I have to do is go back to that memory to reopen that feeling. In every moment of our life, we have a choice. And in that choice, I believe love is always our decision. So the first part is opening to divine love. The second can be a little more complicated. It's learning to forgive. The words in that second stanza go, "Love is my decision. It's up to me to stand on the bridge. Love is my decision. No one else can make me forgive." Now, it's easy to believe that we need to protect ourselves, that we need to protect ourselves from being hurt. I mean, we can all bring to mind countless instances that of experiences in our life that tell us that it's true that we have been hurt. And to set that groundwork for being uncertain about making that next connection. Yet every religious tradition has a forgiveness practice. Every religious tradition has some form of the golden rule: do unto others as you would have those others do unto you. Being harmed, I believe, the belief in being harmed, starts with what I believe I am and what I believe you are. For if I believe that we are just this temporary, limited body, then I will believe that I can be injured. But if I believe that I and we all are that holy, perfect spirit that was created by God, in that we are innocent and we are whole and we cannot be touched. For me, living from that wholeness of spirit becomes my forgiveness work in my life. And to do that, I have to change those beliefs that reflect what I believe I am and what I believe you are, from the limited human to that divine creation, and see that when I see someone else. Charles Fillmore in The Revealing Word says this about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a process of giving up the false for the true. Giving up the false for the true. Giving up those limited beliefs for those true spiritual unlimited beliefs. You know, we have that forgiveness to work to do on many levels. We do it for ourselves. We do it for all kinds of situations that come up in our face. We do it for other people. And as my spiritual journey has done this forgiveness work, it has taken me to a deeper practice. And I have found great meaning in this thought from my work from the Course that answers the question, what is forgiveness? And it says, forgiveness recognizes that what you thought your brother did to you has not occurred. Forgiveness does not pardon sins because that makes them real. Forgiveness sees that there was no sin. Forgiveness merely sees its falsity, the false belief. It merely sees its falsity and therefore lets it go. What then is free to take its place is now the will of God, the choice of love. I want to share a story. It comes from the life of a Buddhist monk, a Tibetan Buddhist monk. His name, Nyosho Kinpo Rinpoche. Rinpoche means wise teacher. But as a young man in Tibet, he and his master were taken captive by the Chinese when the Chinese invaded Tibet. And because the Chinese saw that the religious leadership was also the secular leadership in Tibet, and they wanted to maintain control over the country, they put many of the monks in jail, including Nyosho and his master. And they were in jail for years, tortured, imprisoned. And one of the tortures was that the Chinese would not allow them to close their eyes because they thought that the monks meditated when they closed their eyes. But the Tibetan practice of meditation is done with their eyes open. And so Nyosho and his master were able to continue that practice even in the midst of the prison and their torture and their torment. And their practice was called Tonglen. And it was a meditative practice of taking in the pain, taking in the distress, taking in the suffering, taking in the suffering from others. And when they had taken it in, on the out-breath, they would breathe out light. So the master, Nyosho, would sit there with their eyes open in the midst of that prison, in the midst of the pain and the torment, taking in the suffering from their captors and sending out light. Now the master died in prison. And a few years later, the jailers finally went to Nyosho and he says, "We do not understand. We torture you. We torment you. We do not feed you. And yet you are unmoved. You obviously know something that we do not know, and we need to know what you know, so we want you to teach us." So here is the ultimate act of forgiveness. Nyosho willingly taught that technique to his captors to take in the suffering, to send out the light, to take in the suffering, to send out the light. Until one day, the captors simply said, as they opened the door, "You may go." And they let him go. The author of this little story that I found is a lady by the name of Pamela Bloom, and she writes at the very end of this, because she hears this in a meditative retreat from him, his story. And she says, "As I remember it now, there was not even a trace of resentment in his voice. Only perhaps the bittersweet irony that his master had not lived to see that somewhere between the in-breath and the out-breath, the boundary between persecutor and persecuted had finally dissolved." Nyosho Kimpo Rinpoche is quoted as saying, "An effortless compassion can arise for all beings who have not realized their true nature. So limitless that compassion that if tears could express it, you would cry without end." In our choice to forgive, love is always a decision.
Love is my decision. It's up to me to stand on that bridge.
So the third part. The third part of our spiritual journey is to lighten the load. Now, I don't know about you, but lightening the load always sounds good to me. Because we often have huge loads that we carry out of our childhood, out of experiences that have been less than loving, out of the ought to's and the should's that we are expected to perform. And so it's easy to see that life can be regarded as a struggle in which we are constantly trying to win. And yet, if we can let go of that understanding and to shift that perspective, life can transform before our eyes. I know, because I once had that perspective, that life was a struggle and that I had to win. But over the years in Unity, I have found that that teaching about Unity's third principle, where we create our lives by those beliefs that we hold in mind and heart, have created a whole new understanding of what I'm doing in the world for me. You see, that idea that we create our lives can be seen as intentional creating, and I believe very much in that, but I also believe that it goes ever so much deeper. That there's a whole deeper level to that concept. And that level is that absolutely everything that happens stems from those beliefs I hold in within me. Absolutely everything. Not just the things that I intentionally want, but everything comes out of that deep inner place. Sean Ankar, a Harvard researcher and a lecturer and now an author, spoke about how our beliefs affect our lives. And I want to quote him. He says, "Happiness is not the belief that everything is great. Happiness is the belief that change is possible. Happiness is the joy one feels striving for one's potential." That is what Charles Fillmore was talking about when he talked about that divine evolution, striving for that divine potential that is the truth of what we are, bringing that forth into our life, creating from that belief and that perspective. And this is where unity and new thought shine. You see, instead of seeing our lives as set in rock, in stone, and immovable, and where we are forced to create and recreate those things that we were taught as children and from the early parts of our life, unity sees our life as an unfinished picture. Something that right now we are creating. It is us putting the brushstrokes to our life. We have the tools to release what no longer serves us, and we have the tools to create what our soul desires. We bring forth from that deep place within us that divine truth of what we are, what God is through us, into our lives. We are on this spiritual journey together. And no matter how it appears, we have the choice to lighten our load, to choose what we paint into our picture next. I want to share another reading from the Course. It says, "I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I would experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve, and everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for, and I receive as I have asked." When we choose to lighten our load, love is always our decision.
the road. Love is my decision. No one else can lighten my load. And once I decide to change my mind, God will show me how. Love is my decision. My decision. Right here and now.
Back in Virginia, when we would sing that song and I'd make the congregation sing it, I would make them all dance on that one. Couldn't just sit there, you had to move. I want to end this spiritual journey together with this thought. Comes from my work, The Course. It says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. We only start again, an ancient journey so long ago begun, but it seems new. We have begun again upon a road we traveled on before and lost our way for a little while. And now we try again. Look up. Look up and see God's word among the stars, where God has set your name next to hers. Now, we are sure we do not walk alone. For God is here, and God is with in each of our brothers and our sisters. And what is here begun will grow in life and strength and hope. What we begin will grow in life and strength, and together we always decide for love. Namaste.